So once again this morning, we've included an insert with some teaching notes, and if you'd like to follow along and write things down, you're welcome to. You know, as we continue in this series on the keys to a blessed life, we come to the sixth of the Beatitudes, which is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We live in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with appearances, with how you look. We're all about image. If you're beautiful, then you're considered bright. You're considered the best, which leaves, well, most of us not in the brightest and best category. But the Bible says God couldn't care less about how you look. God is not into your appearance. God isn't interested in how educated you are or how wealthy you are. God doesn't care about how popular or how famous you are. What God cares about is not your image. God cares about your heart. What's inside of you, the real you? As it says in number one in the notes, God is concerned about your heart, not your image. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see this great scene that took place in Bethlehem about 1,000 years before Jesus was born there. When Samuel, the religious leader of Israel, is sent to find a new king for Israel because King Saul has been disobedient. And as he looks over all the sons of Jesse, he thinks that he has found the king when he sees that brightest and best, that most good-looking. But then, as you might remember, the youngest, David, is brought before Samuel. And God tells Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearance, he says, but the Lord looks at the heart. So in Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus talks about the heart. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus says, those whose hearts are pure are the ones who will get up close to God. They get to experience the presence of God. They get to feel the power of God. They get to know God's purpose for their lives, and they find the peace of God. They get to depend on the promises of God as well. Jesus says, those whose hearts are pure are blessed because they will see God. So what does it look like to have a pure heart? A heart that would be able to see God involved in all of life. Well, we don't use that phrase, pure heart, too much today, but there is another more commonly used word that describes what a pure heart looks like, I think. And it's the word integrity. Integrity. We might translate the words of Jesus as, God blesses those who have integrity, for they will see God. And in your notes, you'll see three spaces there. And I want you to write down three words that define what it means to be a woman of integrity, a man of integrity. And the first word is this, wholeness. Wholeness. To have a pure heart means your life is one large whole. It's not all divided up into little categories. We get the word integrity from the word integer, which if you remember in math, an integer is a whole number. It's not a fraction or part of a number. And we also get the word integration from the word integer. Integration is the opposite of segregation. Segregation means that we divide things up or divide people up into different categories. But integration means that we're all part of the same family. We all have different backgrounds. We don't all have the same skin color. We don't all speak the same language, but we're all part of the same family. In God's eyes, we are one big, integrated human family. When you segregate your life, you do not have integrity. You know, a lot of people think of their lives as being like a pie. And this slice of the pie is my career, and this slice is my work life, this slice is what I do at church, this slice is my spiritual life, and my family life, and my sports life, and here's my sex life, and here's my compulsions and addictions, the things that I do that nobody knows about. And we get all divided up. But a person with integrity has an undivided life and sees life as one big whole, so that every aspect of my life is the same and committed to honoring Jesus. A second word to define integrity is authenticity. To have a pure heart means that you're a real person. You're sincere. You're not pretending to be someone you're not. If you have integrity, you act the same no matter who you're with or where you are. Now, thousands of years ago in the ancient Greek plays, one actor would play many different roles, and a guy, and the actors were all guys back then, a guy would come out onto the stage wearing a mask and play one role, and then he'd walk backstage and he'd get another mask and he'd come back out and he'd be playing another role, and then he'd walk backstage and he'd get another mask and come back out and he'd play another role. Now, the Greek word, interestingly, for an actor was hypokritos, from which we get the English word hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who changes masks depending on the role that they're playing. They're not the same with everybody. To have integrity means that I'm authentic, that I don't behave one way in church on Sunday morning and behave a different way in my day-to-day life the rest of the week. It means I walk the walk, whether I'm with my family, at work or school, whether I'm with my friends or at church. Having a pure heart means I don't wear different masks. Now, your true character, your integrity, is revealed by what you do when no one is watching. You're exactly the same in every part of your life. Integrity is wholeness, it's being authentic. And then there's a third word. To have integrity is to have unmixed motives. It means that you do the right thing for the right reason. So, for example, you can pray to deepen your relationship with God, or you can pray to impress others. One has integrity, the other does not. Or you can serve because God has blessed you and you want to be a blessing to others. Or you can serve so that others will look at you and say nice things about you. One has integrity, the other does not. You see, we're interested in the image. God is interested in our hearts. We're interested in what others think about us, but God is interested in our character. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. A pure heart is a heart that is focused on one thing. To be pure in heart means that your whole life, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions are all focused on one thing. And Jesus tells us what that one thing is, that one most important of all the commandments is. Let's read it together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Focus on that one thing. You see, Jesus is telling us here that when we have a life that's divided up, when we have a life that is pretentious, when we have a life that is filled with mixed motives, going after many things for many different reasons, it diminishes our capacity to see God. Sin diminishes our capacity to experience God. In Psalm 24, verse 3, David says this, who can ascend to the Lord's mountain? Who can stand in his holy sanctuary? Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing about two different ways of living. One way, he says, is guided by the Holy Spirit. The other is guided by the works of the flesh. And he says the works of the flesh are obvious. And he goes on to make a long list of those persistent things in our lives that can shut us down spiritually. But then Paul continues. What happens when we live a life that is devoted to that one thing? A life guided out of love for God. Well, the Holy Spirit awakens us then to God's presence and changes us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit flows through us so that we bear fruit and reflect things in our lives that are God-like, like love and joy and peace. Sin diminishes our capacity to experience God, but integrity, purity of heart, it increases our capacity to experience God. The pure in heart will see God, Jesus tells us. The pure in heart will see God in heaven. The pure in heart who see God know that death does not have the last word, that one day we will see God face to face. The Apostle John says it this way, dear friends, we are God's children now, and it hasn't yet appeared what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him face to face. We will see him as he is. The pure in heart will see God in eternity. But Jesus is also telling us here that when our hearts are pure, when we are men and women with integrity, we'll begin to see God not just in those rare moments. We'll see God in everyday life. In Psalm 24, verse 1, a few verses before what we read a few minutes ago, David declares, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants too. pure in heart see God in the world. In all living things, the pure in heart see God in the world, in our relationships with one another. I love this quote from Camille Pissarro, the 19th century impressionist painter. He said, "Blessed are those who see beautiful things in humble places where other people see nothing." What beautiful things we see. If we live a life that is wholly directed toward loving God and loving all that God has made, the pure in heart will see God. They will see God in heaven face to face, but they will also see God in the midst of everyday life. And they will see God in ways that others, whose hearts are divided, will not see God. So as I think about what it means to have a pure heart, I wonder, how do we get it? How do you and I get a pure heart? How do we become people of integrity? How do we develop hearts that can see, can experience God? Well, according to Jesus, in the gospel lesson for today, we can't make ourselves pure. We can't make ourselves pure. In that gospel lesson this morning, when I said, "This is the word of the Lord," it's almost one of those texts where you don't want to respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." Because Jesus sets such a high standard for purity. He takes it to a whole new level. You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, "Don't commit murder. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with a brother or sister is in danger of judgment." You've heard that it was said, "Don't commit adultery. But I say to you, every man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart." You've heard it said, "An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth," but I say to you, "You must not oppose those who want to hurt you." You've heard it said, "You must love your neighbor and hate your enemy," but I say to you, "Love your enemies and pray for those who harass you." Brothers and sisters, as I read the Sermon on the Mount, I realize that we all fall short of that standard which Jesus sets for his disciples. You see, I think Jesus wants us to realize, by setting such a high standard, that we cannot make ourselves pure. We cannot become men and women of integrity simply by reading the latest self-help book and trying harder. We need divine intervention. We need reliance on the Holy Spirit. We can't make ourselves clean, but we can ask God to cleanse us. In fact, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus already took upon himself all of our sin. Look at what the Apostle John writes about this in his first letter, chapter 1. "If we claim we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." But let's read verse 9 together. "But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong, Jesus wants to give you a vibrant heart. A heart that is whole. A heart that is authentic. A heart that is focused on the motive of loving God and loving others. He wants to give you and me pure hearts. The thing is, only Jesus can change my heart. Only Jesus can do for me what I cannot do for myself. Only Jesus can make me clean and pure and innocent so that I can see God. So that I can experience God even in the midst of my daily life. Long ago, a woman by the name of Mary, who lived in Bethany, understood this. In Luke chapter 10, it tells us that while Jesus and his disciples were traveling, they entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. Now, by contrast, while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his message, Martha was preoccupied. She wanted to get everything ready for the meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord gave a surprising answer, right? "Martha, Martha," he said, "you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has found the better portion." One thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. One thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they see God. We can't make ourselves pure in heart. And yet God is yearning for every heart to be pure. That's why he sent his son Jesus, so that we might be cleansed of all our sins. I wonder, what is it today that is standing in the way for you of seeing God? What is it in your heart that you need to confess before God today? Trusting that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us, so that we might see God. I invite you to sing this next hymn together, and we'll stand as we do. And as we sing, make this your prayer and open your heart to the Holy Spirit who's with us today, so that your heart might be cleansed, and you will grow into a deeper fellowship with the God who loves you and the God who desires to bless your life.